na chai tana prabhan sana jaya jaya goda na shiva sadhi go.
Class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj on August 25th, 1982 in Chicago, Illinois. The class begins with the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chapter 30, on the auspicious appearance day of Srimati Radharani.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Mukakuroti Vachalang Pangulang Gayate Giringat Kripata Mahangbande Sri Gurung Dinacharinam Paramananda Madhavam. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, this chapter 30, the transcendental pastimes of Radhan Krishna, which is a description of the conversation between Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Prabhupada says on page 311, the difference between executing ordinary religious activities and devotional service is very great. By executing religious rituals, one can achieve economic development, sense gratification or liberation, merging into the existence of the Supreme. But the results of transcendental devotional service are completely different from such temporary benefits. Devotional service of the Lord is evergreen, and it is increasingly transcendentally pleasing. There is a gulf of difference between the results derived from devotional service and those derived from religious rituals. The great spiritual energy known as Joradishtatri or Mahamaya, the superintendent of the material world, and the material departmental directors, the demigods, as well as the products of the external energy of the Supreme Lord, the things of the material world, are but perverted reflections of the opulence of the Supreme Lord. Thus all the demigods, as well as the external energy herself, Durga Devi, and all the different departmental directors, are but servants of the Supreme Lord in the material world. In the spiritual world, there is another energy, the superior spiritual energy or internal energy, which acts under the direction of Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya is the internal potency of the Lord. She also works under the Lord's direction, but she works in the spiritual world. When the living entity puts himself under the direction of Yoga Maya instead of Mahamaya, he gradually becomes a devotee of Krishna. Yet those who are after material opulence and material happiness place themselves under the care of the material energy, Mahamaya, or under the care of material demigods like Lord Shiva and others. In Srimad Bhagavatam it is found that when the gopis of Vrindavana desired Krishna as their husband, they prayed to the spiritual energy Yogamaya for the fulfillment of their desire. In the Saptasati it is found that King Suratha and a merchant named Samadhi worshipped Mahamaya for material opulence. Thus one should not mistakenly equalize Yoga Maya and Mahamaya. Because the Lord is on the absolute platform, there is no difference between the holy name of the Lord and the Supreme Lord Himself. There are different names for the Supreme Lord, and these names have different purposes and meanings. For instance, He is known as Paramatma, the Supersoul, Brahman, the Supreme Absolute, Srishtikarta, the Creator, Narayana, the Transcendental Lord, Rukmini Ramana, the husband of Rukmini, and Gopinatha, the enjoyer of the gopis, and Krishna. In this way, the Lord has different names, and these names indicate different functions. The aspect of the Supreme Lord as the Creator is different from the aspect of the Lord as Narayana. Some of the names of the Lord as the Creator are conceived by materialistic men. One cannot fully realize the essence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by understanding the name of the Creator, because this material creation is a function of the external energy of the Supreme Lord. Thus, the conception of God as the Creator includes only the external feature. Similarly, when we call the Supreme Lord Brahman, we cannot have any understanding of the six opulences of the Supreme Lord. In Brahman realization, the six opulences are not realized in full. Therefore, Brahman realization is not complete understanding of the Supreme Lord. Neither is Paramatma realization, realization of the Supersoul. Full realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the all-pervading nature of the Supreme Lord is but a partial representation of His opulence. So here Srila Prabhupada, he's taking us step by step, that first we should know what is the difference between material energy and spiritual energy, and between the personified spiritual potency of the Lord and material potency. That this material energy is temporary. The blessings given by material energy are temporary. But Krishna, the Supreme Lord, has His own spiritual energy who gives eternal blessings in the spiritual world. And there is a difference between these two. So now here, we're going into the spiritual platform. In the spiritual platform, the Lord has various names, and there's no difference between the name of the Lord and the Lord Himself. So therefore we chant these names for purification. This is the process given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But is there any tissue? The different people have given different names, like God, Allah, which are signifying God is the Creator, God is... The Creator is only a materialistic aspect. Like this, the conception of God or the Supreme Being may be in different moods. So depending on how we address God, how we address the Supreme Being, He's going to reciprocate. If you address Him as the Creator, that is an aspect which is simply a material aspect. He's not only the Creator, you see. But the materialistic people, they don't know anything about God except what they see this in this material world. So they think of Him, well, He's the one who created everything, you see. So now Prabhupada is systematically showing us how the concept of Creator, concept of the Supreme Brahman, the impersonal energy, concept of the Paramatma, localized, all-pervasive, personality is in every atom in our heart accompanying us. All these conceptions are not full. They're partial. And there's more than that. So then Prabhupada is going on explaining about the Lord in Vaikuntha. He's saying, even the transcendental relationship experienced by a devotee of Narayana in Vaikuntha is incomplete. And that it is not realization of a relationship with Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. The devotees of Krishna do not relish devotional service to Narayana because devotional service to Krishna is so attractive that Krishna's devotees do not desire to worship any other form. Thus the gopis of Vrindavana do not like to see Krishna as the husband of Rukmini, nor do they address Him as Rukmini Ramana. In Vrindavana, Krishna is addressed as Radha Krishna, or Krishna, the property of Radharani. Although the husband of Rukmini and Radha's Krishna are on the same level in the ordinary sense, still in the spiritual world the names indicate different understandings of various aspects of Krishna's transcendental personality. If one equalizes Rukmini Ramana, Radha Ramana, Narayana, or any other name of the Supreme Lord, he commits the fault of overlapping tastes, which is technically called rasa bhas. Those who are expert devotees do not accept such amalgamations, which are against the conclusions of pure devotional service. So in this way, it's very clear that worshipping Krishna in any other form, whether as Rukmini Krishna or as Narayana, is not on the same level as worshipping Radha Krishna. In South India, many philosophers feel that Krishna is actually an expansion of Narayana. This is not at all accepted. But ultimately, Krishna is the original form of God. That God also has unlimited forms. Each of them are full, absolute, transcendental, having unlimited potencies. Yet, that's in an ordinary sense. In a higher evaluation of their qualities, then Krishna's qualities are special. And especially because Krishna is associated with Srimati Radha Rani. So although Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, embodies all super excellence and beauty, when he is amongst the damsels of Raja, he is known as Gopi Jana Ballava. The devotees cannot relish the beauty of the Supreme Lord more than the damsels of Raja. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.33.7, it is confirmed that although Krishna, the son of Devaki, is the last word in super excellence and beauty, when he is amongst the gopis, it appears that he is a sublime jewel set amongst divine golden craftsmanship. Although Lord Chaitanya accepted this as the highest realization of the Supreme Lord as conjugal lover, he nonetheless requested Ramananda Rai to proceed further. You've certainly heard of the English saying, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So when we're discussing the transcendental qualities of the Lord, then ultimately the beholder becomes very important. That a particular devotee has a certain limitation. How much he can actually appreciate the beauty of Krishna. Just like an ordinary person may not be able to appreciate some works of art, as another person who is very expert in art can appreciate it. So, a non-devotee is not able to appreciate the full beauty of Krishna. And then within devotees, some devotees are able to appreciate Krishna's beauty, his qualities, his characteristics to such an extent that actually it draws out more of his transcendental characteristics. So this is the nature of the gopis, that they are actually able to appreciate Krishna's transcendental qualities more than other devotees. More of the qualities of Krishna, therefore, are manifested in a company with the devotees, especially rather the gopis. And now Lord Chaitanya is asking Ramananda Rai to go on further. So upon hearing this request, Ramananda Rai remarked that this was the first time that he had been asked to go further than the gopis in an attempt to understand Krishna. There is certainly transcendental intimacy between the damsels of Raja and Krishna, Ramananda Rai pointed out, but out of all the relationships between Radharani and Krishna in conjugal love is the most perfect. No common man can understand the ecstasy of transcendental love between Radharani and Krishna, nor can he understand the transcendental flavor of the transcendental love between Krishna and the gopis. Yet if one tries to follow in the footsteps of the gopis, he may become situated in the highest stage of transcendental love. Thus, one who wants to be elevated to the transcendental stage of perfection should follow in the footsteps of the damsels of Raja as an assistant maidservant of the gopis. Lord Chaitanya exhibited the mood of Srimati Radharani when she was contacted from Dwaraka by Sri Krishna. Such transcendental love is not possible for any common man. Therefore, one should not imitate the highest perfectional stage exhibited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If, however, one desires to be in that association, he may follow in the footsteps of the gopis. In the Padma Purana, it is stated that just as Radharani is dear to Krishna, similarly the Kunda, known as Radha Kunda, is also very dear to him. Radharani is the only gopi who is dear to Krishna than all the other gopis. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10:30:28, it is also stated that Radharani and the gopis render the highest perfectional loving service to the Lord, and that the Lord is so pleased with them that he does not wish to leave the company of Srimati Radharani. Srila Prabhupada would not generally discuss in public lectures these details, the details of the pastimes of Srimati Radharani and Krishna, because this was the principle that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would only discuss these matters with his most intimate disciples. As a materialist may misconceive them, and thus commit the error of thinking that Radha and Krishna is some material activity and commit offense, and thus fall down from the path of spiritual life. At the same time, especially these things are revealed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to attract the minds of the fallen souls in the age of Kali. The people in the age of Kali are very fallen. They have a very hard disease, therefore they need a very strong medicine. So chanting in Harinam, the Sankirtan, or congregational chanting of the Lord's names, revealing the Lord's pastimes and His holy dhams, these strong medicines have been revealed to defeat the epidemic of sinful life which is going throughout the civilization in Kali Yuga. So, remember one time Srila Prabhupada was lecturing that throughout the ages there are many great souls who have given up all material things seeking spiritual happiness, spiritual bliss. He cited Maharaj Bharat, who was emperor of the world. It describes in the Bhagavatam, he gave up his kingdom, his riches, his opulence, his fame. He gave up his family. He gave everything up. It actually describes it just as a man leaves the bathroom. He just left without even looking back all of these opulences. Prabhupada said, why? He was after that spiritual bliss. Buddha, Siddha, Siddhartha was a great prince. He had all the opulence given by his father, the king. Beautiful damsels, money, everything he wanted. But he left it all without a second thought. Why? He was searching after spiritual bliss. Like this, there's so many great souls. They have given up everything, going after the spiritual happiness. So Prabhupada said, what is that spiritual happiness? That spiritual happiness is Srimati Radharani. She is the pleasure potency of the Lord. Everyone is running after her. She's not any ordinary person. When she's able to give Krishna happiness, That means all the spiritual happiness is just a partial manifestation of Srimati Radharani. So just as Srimati Radharani is most able to perceive all of the transcendental qualities of Krishna, similarly, Krishna is only able to appreciate the transcendental pleasure of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, they are completely inseparable. When Lord Chaitanya heard Ramananda Rai speak of the loving affairs between Krishna and Radharani, he said, "Please go further. Go on and on." The Lord also said that he was enjoying with great relish the descriptions of the loving affairs between Krishna and the gopis. "It is as if a river of nectar is flowing from your lips," he said. Ramananda Rai continued to point out that when Krishna danced among the gopis, he thought, "I am not giving any special attention to Radharani." Because amongst the other gopis, Radharani was not so much an object of special love, Krishna stole her away from the area of the rasa dance and showed her special favor. After explaining this to Lord Chaitanya, Ramananda Rai said, "Now let us relish the transcendental loving affairs between Krishna and Radha. These have no comparison in this material world." This is the thing to remember, that Srimati Radharani is a special amongst all the devotees. Therefore, Krishna gave her special attention. And therefore we worship the Lord as Radha Krishna, as the highest understanding of the Absolute Truth, as the highest form, because only in the form as Radha and Krishna are all of the qualities of Krishna present. Because only Srimati Radharani can appreciate all of the qualities of Krishna. A devotee will appreciate some of the transcendental bliss, some of the transcendental ecstasy, some of the transcendental qualities of Krishna. We cannot imitate Srimati Radharani. Krishna himself wanted to understand how she was able to appreciate so many things. What was she appreciating? He took the mood of Radharani and became Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, he took also her color and became golden color. Krishna is the color of a rain cloud, dark bluish black, effulgent. And Radharani is golden color. So when Krishna came with the mood of Radharani, he came in golden color. So Lord Chaitanya, he exhibited the same appreciation of Krishna as Radharani did. Therefore, sometimes he would become mad in ecstasy. He would jump into the Jamuna River, right, into the sea, thinking it was the Jamuna River. Sometimes his body would become dislocated. He would stretch out to 9 feet in length with simply the bones being held together by the skin. And he'd be crying out names of Krishna. And he would be it would be fearful for the devotees. They would chant Hare Krishna, and again he would come back together when he heard Hare Krishna, and again he would start to dance. It was such manifestations that no one can even dream of what to speak of imitate. We find that the intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya, only a few were the topics of Radha and Krishna intimately discussed. And generally, it wasn't that all the devotees were always exhibiting such ecstasies, crying, or quivering, and all the other ecstasies. Occasionally, it was visible. Generally, they would try to suppress it. Only in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did it reach such heights that it was unrepressible, unsuppressible. It was therefore known as Mahabhava, or the great ecstasies. So in the Krishna conscious movement, we don't show these things. And neither anyone can show to that extent. But rather, one internally appreciates, and sometimes the devotee is feeling different symptoms. These are all just partial manifestation of Radharani's happiness coming down. It was the greatest shock for the gopis when Krishna left Vrindavana and went to Dwarka and Mathura. They became practically mad in love for Krishna, showing that actually Krishna, either in their presence or in their absence, their ecstatic love was always at the highest level. It wasn't limited by any material condition. In material life, one can't enjoy love usually to that extent unless the person is there, physically there, or he's there through various subtle bhavas. One can see that the gopis are completely absorbed. Radharani was completely absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna, and that Krishna was present. So Krishna, knowing the gopis are very upset, he sent Uddhava, also to purify Uddhava by getting their association. He sent Uddhava to Vrindavana to deliver a message to the gopis, especially to Srimati Radharani. So in the Krishna book, page 64 of the second volume, we could read some parts of this discussion and understand a little more of transcendental pastimes. Uddhava understood that the gopis of Vrindavana were all simply absorbed in the thought of Krishna and his childhood pastimes. While talking about Krishna with Uddhava, they forgot all about their household business. They even forgot about themselves as their interest in Krishna increased more and more. One of the gopis, namely Srimati Radharani, was so much absorbed in thoughts of Krishna by dint of her personal touch with him that she actually began to talk with a bumblebee which was flying there and trying to touch her lotus feet. While another gopi was talking with Krishna's messenger Uddhava, Srimati Radharani took that bumblebee to be a messenger from Krishna and began to talk with it as follows. Bumblebee, you are accustomed to drinking the honey from the flowers, and therefore you have preferred to be a messenger of Krishna, who is of the same nature as you. I have seen on your mustaches the red powder of kumkuma, which was smeared on the flower garland of Krishna while he was pressing. So it may be that Srimati Radharani purposely addressed that bumblebee sarcastically in order to criticize the messenger Uddhava. Indirectly, Srimati Radharani saw Uddhava as not only resembling Krishna's bodily features, but as being equal to Krishna. In this way, she indicated that Uddhava was as unreliable as Krishna himself. Srimati Radharani wanted to give specific reasons why she was dissatisfied with Krishna and his messengers. So according to expert opinion, Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, is a subordinate expansion of Srimati Radharani. As Krishna has numerous expansions of Vishnumurti, so his pleasure potency Radharani also has innumerable expansions of goddesses of fortune. Therefore, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Ji, is always anxious to be elevated to the position of the gopis. Then she starts to criticize Krishna, that Krishna advertises himself as very magnanimous and he is praised by great saints. His qualifications could be perfectly utilized if he would only show us mercy because we are downtrodden and neglected by him. You poor messenger, you are only a less intelligent servant. You do not know much about Krishna. How ungrateful and hard-hearted he has been, not only in this life but in his previous lives also. We have heard this from our grandmother, Purnamasi. She has informed us that Krishna was born in a Kshatriya family previous to this birth and was known as Ramachandra. In that birth, instead of killing Vali, an enemy of his friend, in the manner of a kshatriya, he killed him just like a hunter. A hunter takes a secure hiding place and then kills an animal without facing it. So Lord Ramachandra as a kshatriya should have fought with Vali face to face. But instigated by his friend, he killed him from behind a tree. Thus he deviated from the religious principles of a kshatriya. Also he was so attracted by the beauty of Sita that he converted Suparnakha, the sister of Ravana, into an ugly woman by cutting off her nose and ears. Suparnakha proposed an intimate relationship with him, and as a kshatriya he should have satisfied her. But he was so selfish that he could not forget Sita Devi and converted Suparnakha into an ugly woman. Before that birth as a kshatriya, he took his birth as a brahmana boy known as Vamanadeva and asked charity from Bali Maharaja. Bali Maharaja was so magnanimous that he gave him whatever he had. Yet Krishna's Vamanadeva ungratefully arrested him just like a crow and pushed him down to the Patala kingdom. We know all about Krishna and how ungrateful he is, but here is the difficulty. In spite of his being so cruel and hard-hearted, it is very difficult for us to give up talking about him. Not only are we unable to give up this talk, but great sages and saintly persons are also engaged in talking about him. We gopis of Vrindavana do not want to make any more friendships with this blackish boy, but we do not know how we shall be able to give up remembering and talking about his qualities. Since Krishna is absolute, Prabhupada is telling us, his so-called unkind activities are as relishable as his kind activities. Saintly persons and great devotees like the gopis cannot give up Krishna in any circumstance. Lord Chaitanya therefore prayed, Krishna, you are free and independent in all respects. You can either embrace me or crush me under your feet, whatever you like. You may make me broken-hearted by not letting me see you throughout my whole life, but you are my only object of love. In my opinion, Srimati Radharani continued, one should not hear about Krishna, because as soon as a drop of the nectar of his transcendental activities is poured into the ear, one immediately rises above the platform of duality, attraction and rejection. Being completely freed from the attraction of material attachment, one gives up the attachment for this material world, family, home, wife, children and everything which is materially dear to every person. Being dispossessed of all material acquisition, one makes his relatives and himself unhappy. Then he wanders in search of Krishna, either as a human being or in other species of life, even as a bird. It is very difficult to actually understand Krishna, his name, his quality, his form, his pastimes, his paraphernalia and his entourage. Srimati Radharani continued to speak to the black messenger of Krishna, please do not talk any more about Krishna. It is better to talk about something else. We are already doomed like the black spotted she-deer in the forest who are enchanted by the sweet musical vibration of the hunter. In the same way we have been enchanted by the sweet words of Krishna, and again we are thinking of the rays of the nails of his toes. We are becoming more and more lustful for his association. Therefore I request you not to talk of Krishna anymore. This talk of Radharani with the bumblebee messenger and her accusing Krishna and at the same time her inability to give up talking about him are symptoms of the topmost transcendental ecstasy called Mahabhav. The ecstatic Mahabhav manifestation is possible only in the persons of Radharani and her associates. Great acharyas like Sri Rupa Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur have analyzed these Mahabhava speeches of Srimati Radharani, and they have described the different sentiments such as Udgurna, bewilderment, and Jalpa, Pratijalpa, talking in different ways. In Radharani is found the science of Ujjwala, or the brightest jewel or love of God. While Radharani was talking with the bee, and the bee was flying hither and thither, it all of a sudden disappeared from her sight. She was in full mourning due to separation from Krishna and was feeling ecstasy by talking with the bee. But as soon as the bee disappeared, she became almost mad. thinking that the messenger bee might have returned to Krishna to inform him all about her talking against him. Krishna must have been very sorry to hear it, she thought. In this way, she was very much overwhelmed with another type of ecstasy. In the meantime, the bee flying hither and thither appeared before her again. She thought, Krishna is still kind to me. In spite of the messenger carrying disruptive messages, he is so kind that he has again sent the bee to take me to him. Srimati Radharani was very careful this time not to say anything against Krishna. My dear friend, I welcome you, she said. Krishna is so kind that he has again sent you. Krishna is so kind and affectionate to me that he has sent you back. My dear friend, in spite of your carrying my message against him, my dear friend, you can ask from me whatever you want, I shall give you because you are so kind upon me. So then, Uddhava, seeing all these things, he became completely overwhelmed. You see, Krishna in that message had glorified the qualities of the gopis. But the gopis weren't very interested in hearing. Uddhava realized their transcendental position. He said that since the perfection of such austerity was completely manifested in the life of the gopis, Uddhava was fully satisfied upon seeing their transcendental position. He continued to say, my dear gopis, the mentality which you have developed in relationship with Krishna is very, very difficult to attain, even for great sages and saintly persons. You have attained the highest perfectional stage of life. It is a great boon for you that you have fixed your mind upon Krishna and have decided to have Krishna only. Giving up your family, home, relatives, husbands and children for the sake of the Supreme Personality. Because your mind is now fully absorbed in Krishna, the Supreme Soul, universal love has automatically developed in you. I think myself very fortunate that I have been favored by your grace to see you in this situation. So when Uddhava said that he had a message from Krishna, the gopis were more interested in hearing the message than in hearing about their exalted position. They did not very much like being praised for their high position. They showed their anxiety to hear the message which Uddhava had brought from Krishna. So the gopis are, Prabhupada is describing that, the gopis are in the perfectional stage of meditation. The yogis are generally more fond of meditation than the execution of devotional service to the Lord, but they do not know the perfectional stage of devotion as the attainment of the perfection of the yoga system. The constant meditation on Krishna by the gopis is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita to be the topmost yoga. Krishna knew very well the psychology of women. When a woman's beloved is away, she thinks of him meditatively, and he is present before her. Krishna wanted to teach through the behavior of the gopis. One who is constantly entranced like the gopis surely attains the lotus feet of Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya taught people in general, Prabhupada is saying, the method of Vipralamba, which is the method of rendering service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the feeling of separation. The six Goswamis also taught worship of Krishna in the feeling of the gopis in separation. The prayers of Srinivasacharya about the Goswamis explain these matters very clearly. Srinivasacharya said that the Goswamis were always absorbed in the ocean of transcendental feelings in the mood of the gopis. When they lived in Vrindavan, they were searching for Krishna, crying, where is Krishna? Where are the gopis? Where are you, Srimati Radharani? They never said, we have now seen Radha and Krishna, and therefore our mission is fulfilled. Their mission remains always unfulfilled. They never met Radha and Krishna. At the time of the Rasa dance, those gopis who could not join the Rasa Leela with Krishna gave up their bodies simply by thinking of him. Absorption in Krishna consciousness by feeling separation is thus the quickest method for attainment of the lotus feet of Krishna. By the personal statement of Krishna, the gopis were convinced about the strength of feelings of separation. They were actually experiencing the supernatural method of Krishna worship, and were much relieved and happy to understand it. Sri Uddhava confirmed the statement of Bhagavad Gita spoken by Lord Krishna. One who takes shelter of him for the right purpose, be he a sudra or lower, will attain the highest goal of life. The gopis have set the standard of devotion for the whole world. By following the footsteps of the gopis, by constantly thinking of Krishna, one can attain the highest perfectional stage of spiritual life. The gopis were not born of any highly cultured family. They were born of cowherd men, and yet they developed the highest love of Krishna. For self-realization or God-realization, there is no need to take birth in a high family. The only thing needed is ecstatic development of love of God. In achieving perfection in Krishna consciousness, no other qualification is required than to be constantly engaged in the loving service of Krishna. Krishna is the supreme nectar, the reservoir of all pleasure. The effect of taking up Krishna consciousness is just like that of drinking nectar. With or without one's knowledge, it will act. The active principle of Krishna consciousness will manifest itself everywhere. It does not matter how and where one has taken his birth. Krishna will bestow his benediction upon anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness without any doubt. Uddhava appreciated the exalted position of the gopis and wished to fall down and take the dust of their feet on his head. Yet he did not dare to ask the gopis to offer the dust from their feet. Perhaps they would not be agreeable. He therefore desired to have his head smeared with the dust of the gopis' feet without their knowledge. He desired to become only an insignificant clump of grass or herbs in the land of Vrindavana. The gopis were so much attracted to Krishna that when they heard the vibration of his flute, they instantly left their families, children, honor, and feminine bashfulness and ran towards the place where Krishna was standing. They did not consider whether they were passing over the road or through the jungles. Imperceptibly, the dust of their feet was bestowed on small grasses and herbs of Vrindavana. Not daring to place the dust of the gopis' feet on his own head, Uddhava aspired to have a future birth in the position of a clump of grass and herbs. He would then be able to have the dust of the gopis' feet. In this way, Srimati Radharani expands herself to many gopis and to many Lakshmis and arranges for the service of Krishna. The understanding of Krishna is at its perfection. One understands Krishna with the gopis and finally with Srimati Radharani. This is further described by Ramananda Rai to Lord Chaitanya as follows. In describing the beauty of Krishna. In fact, even Krishna himself is attracted by his own beauty. He is so beautiful. Krishna is so beautiful, transcendental and attractive that he sometimes attracts even himself. How Krishna is attracted by his own beauty is described in Lalita Madhava. Upon seeing his own picture, Krishna lamented, "How glorious this picture is. It is attracting me just as it attracts Radharani." After giving a summary of the beauty of Krishna, Ramananda Rai began to speak of the spiritual energy of Krishna, which is headed by Srimati Radharani. Krishna has immense energetic expansions. Three energies are predominant: the internal energy, external energy, and marginal energy. This is confirmed in the 6th chapter of Vishnu Purana, where it is said that Vishnu has one energy which is called spiritual energy, and it is manifested in three ways. When the spiritual energy is overwhelmed by ignorance, it is called marginal energy. As far as spiritual energy itself is concerned, it is exhibited in three forms. Because Krishna is a combination of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. As far as bliss is concerned, his spiritual energy is manifested as the pleasure-giving potency. His eternity is manifested as energy, and His knowledge is manifested as spiritual perfection. As confirmed in Vishnu Purana 1.12.69, the pleasure potency of Krishna gives Krishna transcendental pleasure and bliss. Thus, when Krishna wants to enjoy pleasure, He exhibits His own spiritual potency known as Haladini. In His spiritual form, Krishna enjoys His spiritual energy, and that is the sum and substance of Radha Krishna pastimes. These pastimes can only be understood by elevated devotees. One should not try to understand the Radha Krishna potencies and pastimes from the mundane platform. Generally, people misunderstand these as being material. When the spiritual pleasure potency is further condensed, it is called Mahabhav. Srimati Radharani, the eternal consort of Krishna, is the personification of that Mahabhav. In this regard, it's saying that Mahabhav is full of the pleasure potency, and it is an exhibition of the highest love for Krishna. Radharani is therefore known throughout the world as the most beloved of Krishna, and her name is always associated with Krishna as Radha Krishna. Brahma Sanghita 537 also confirms that Krishna expands Himself by His pleasure potency in the spiritual world, and that these potencies are all non-different from Krishna. Although Krishna is always enjoying the company of His pleasure potency expansions, He is all-pervading. Thus, Brahma offers His respectful obeisances to Govinda, the cause of all causes. As Krishna is the highest emblem of spiritual perfection, so Radharani is the highest emblem of that spiritual pleasure potency by which Krishna is satisfied. Since Krishna is unlimited, in order to satisfy Him, Radharani is also unlimited. Krishna is satisfied just by seeing Radharani, but Radharani expands herself in such a way that Krishna desires to enjoy her more. Because Krishna was unable to estimate the pleasure potency of Radharani, He decided to accept the role of Radharani, and that combination is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramananda Rai then began to explain Radharani as the supreme emblem of Krishna's pleasure potency. Radharani expands herself in different forms known as Lalita, Visakha, and her other confidential associates. Today at Gita Nagari they're establishing Lalita and Visakha deities for serving the Radha Damodar deities. You should be probably interested. All the past devotees of Radha Damodar. Rupa Goswami explains the characteristics of Srimati Radharani. How much further we should go on? He points out that the body of Radharani is in itself an actual evolution of transcendental pleasure. That body is decorated with flowers and fragrant aromas and is complete with transcendental love for Krishna. That is the personification of His pleasure potency. That transcendental body takes bath three times. First in the water of mercy, second in the water of youthful beauty, and third in the water of youthful luster. After taking bath three times in that way, her body is covered with shining garments and decorated with Krishna's personal beauty, which is compared to cosmetics. Thus her beauty constitutes the highest artistry. Her body is also decorated with the ornaments of spiritual ecstasy, trembling, tears, petrification, perspiration, choking, cessation of all bodily functions due to transcendental pleasure, stumbling, high blood pressure, and madness. The decorative transcendental pleasure potency manifests nine symptoms. Five of these are manifested by the expansion of her personal beauty, which is adorned with garlands of flowers. Her patient calmness is compared with a covering of cloths which have been cleansed by camphor. Her confidential agony for Krishna is the knot in her hair, and the mark of tilak on her forehead is her fortune. Radharani's sense of hearing is eternally fixed on Krishna's name and fame. One's lips become red from chewing betel nuts. Similarly, the borders of Radharani's eyes are blackened due to her complete attachment to Krishna. This darkness might be compared to ointment used by nature when nature jokes with Radha and Krishna. Radharani's smile is just like the taste of camphor. The garland of separation moves on her body when she lies down on the bed of pride within the room of aroma. Out of ecstatic affection for Krishna, her breast is covered by the blouse of anger. Reputed as the best of all Krishna's girlfriends, she plays a stringed instrument. When Krishna stands in his youthful posture, she puts her hand on his shoulder. Although she possesses so many transcendental qualities, she is always engaged in the service of Krishna. The tilak of fortune is on the forehead of Srimati Radharani, and she also has a locket of Prema Vaichitya. Prema Vaichitya is manifest when a lover and beloved meet and fear separation. Srimati Radharani is 15 days younger than Krishna. She always keeps her hand on the shoulder of her friends, and she always talks and thinks of pastimes with Krishna. She always offers Krishna a kind of intoxication by her sweet talks, and she is always prepared to fulfill his desires. In other words, she supplies all the demands of Sri Krishna, and she possesses unique and uncommon qualities for Krishna's satisfaction. So today we are celebrating Radhastami, 15 days after Krishna's appearance. We are advised by Prabhupada that this exchange of feelings between Krishna and Radharani is very difficult to understand unless one is elevated to the platform of pure goodness. Such transcendental reciprocation is not even possible to understand from the platform of material goodness. One has to actually transcend material goodness in order to understand. This is because the exchange of feelings between Radha and Krishna is not a subject matter of this material world. Even the greatest mental speculator cannot understand this, directly or indirectly. Material activities are manifested either for the gross body or the subtle mind, but this exchange of feelings between Radha and Krishna is not a subject matter of this material world. This exchange of feelings between Radha and Krishna is beyond such manifestations and beyond intellectual mental speculation. It can only be understood by purified senses freed from all designations of the material world. Those who have purified senses can understand these transcendental features and exchanges, but those who are impersonalists and who have no knowledge of spiritual senses can only discriminate within the scope of the material senses and thus cannot understand spiritual exchanges or spiritual sensual activities. So here we understand how the Mayavadis, they can never understand Radha Krishna pastimes because they don't accept spiritual senses. Therefore, whenever they think of sense activities, they'll only think of material sense activities. Therefore, one should very carefully avoid this Mayavadi philosophy because it will stop one from relishing actual, real transcendental happiness of the highest order. 4. Pure spiritual body. A siddha deho is the purified soul who is just suitable to serve the Supreme Lord. No one can serve the Supreme Lord as his associate without being situated in his pure spiritual identity. So in this way, the appearance day of Srimati Radharani, we pray for the ability simply to serve the servant of the servant of the servant of Srimati Radharani, to serve Srila Prabhupada and his dedicated devotees, and become free from all type of material misconceptions of life, and in the mood of the Gopi's mood of separation, serving, always anxious to please the Lord and his devotees, one can very quickly achieve this highest destination. It is not possible by yoga, by jnana, by mystic practices, by mental speculation, or by any type of material endeavor. But it is possible by this process of devotional service. So we need especially the mercy of Srimati Radharani. We pray to Srimati Radharani for blessings that we can serve Krishna and spiritual master, because she is very compassionate and soft. Actually, when we serve the deity of Radha and Krishna in the temple, that service is supposed to be on a platform of pure loving devotion. But as we are not able to artificially imitate that standard, that is something which can only happen. Therefore, we worship according to the rules and regulations. And thus, it's actually worshipping in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan with awe and reverence. But that is accepted by Radha Krishna. And this way, we become purified by worshipping their deities in the temple formally. And ultimately, as one advances, then spontaneous devotion for that their lordship, Sisi Radha Krishna, Kishore Kishori, will develop. And that simply is happening by sticking to this process of devotional service, always remaining engaged, never allowing any material diversion to distract it. Jai Srimati Radharani ki! Srila Prabhupada ki! Radhastami Mahamahotsav ki! Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki! Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapuranam ki! Srila Prabhupada teachings of Lord Chaitanya Krishna book ki! Srila Prabhupada books ki! Hare Krishna! Any question? Hare Krishna is described, she is of course referred to indirectly. It mentions that one devotee especially is able to worship Krishna. Aradhito. Able to worship Krishna better. And within the word Aradha, Aradhana, Radha is there. But that's a little incognito. This is described by the previous acharyas that as her name was so confidential and esoteric, that Sukadeva Goswami, out of being overwhelmed in some humility, felt bashful even to mention directly her name, feeling unqualified to do so, out of humility. But it's mentioned in the Padma Purana and other Puranas, her name is mentioned. I was suggesting to Srila Acharya Dev that it would be more Prabhupada said he wanted to have the Padma Purana translated, which also glorifies Srimati Radharani specifically. It would be nice if he did that rather than the Mahabharata. I don't know how much he'll take my advice. But I heard he's considering it seriously. It's Kapila? What's his name?
Yes.
Abhyas Dev. Vasudev.
Yes.
Vyasadeva or Vasudev? Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva, have any question? How do you feel today on Radhastami? Yes? Well, she's known as the daughter of Vrishabhanu, the king Vrishabhanu. Don't they say in Vrindavan that she was plowed up in the field or something? Was she actually born? How was it? It's kind of a mystery how she appeared, but she's known as the daughter of Vrishabhanu. Exactly the details how she appeared, somewhat of a mystery. So Barshana, where she appeared, the home of Vrishabhanu,
there he saw Lord Narayan with Nila, Bhu, and Sri. Bhu Devi, Nila, Sri. And immediately prostrated himself, and there Lord Narayan became Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took that form and he blessed Ramanuja Acharya and told him that he should go all over and preach the Dasya Rasa. The Ramanuja Acharya wanted to stay in Navadvip. He said, no, you have to go as Jagannath ordered to Kormastan. Later when I come, then you will join me like that. So then Ramanuja Acharya went to Kormastan and continued his preaching. It's in the story by Nityananda Tajiva Goswami and the glories of Navadvip Dham. Prima beshe hasi kandi nitya gita koilo deki sarva loke chitte chamotkara hoilo. While at this place Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in his usual ecstasy of love of Godhead and was laughing, crying, dancing and chanting. Everyone who saw him was astonished. Ascharya suniya loka ailo deki bare prabhu rupa premo deki hoila chamotkare. Translation. After hearing of these wonderful occurrences, everyone came to see him there. When they saw the beauty of the Lord and his ecstatic condition, they were all struck with wonder. Darshane Vaishnava Hailo Bale Krishna Hari Prema Vese Nachi Loka Udva Bahu Kori. Just by seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everyone became a devotee. They began to chant Krishna and Hari and all the holy names. They all were merged in a great ecstasy of love, and they began to dance, raising their arms. Krishna nama loka muke suni abhiram se loka vaishnav koilo anna sabagram. Always hearing them chant the holy names of Lord Krishna, others also became Vaishnavas in those villages. Ematu parasparai desho Vaishnav hoilo Krishna nama amrita bonnai desho bashailo. Translation. By hearing the holy name of Krishna, the entire country became Vaishnava. It was as if the nectar of the holy name of Krishna overflooded the entire country. Kotokane prabhu jadi bajjo prakashila kurme sevak bahu saman korila. After some time, when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested his external consciousness, a priest of the Lord Kurma deity gave him various offerings. So here we see how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just by seeing his chanting and dancing and ecstasy, people were converted to pure devotees. And they began to also chant and dance. And other people seeing them chant and dance also became devotees. In this way, one after another, everyone became devotees of the Lord, Vaishnavas. Jai Gami Jayataha E Byabohar Akatai Kohilo Na Kohibo Arobar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mode of preaching has already been explained, and I shall not repeat the explanation. In whichever village the Lord entered, his behavior was the same. Kurmo Nami Se Gami Boidik Brahmana Bahu Sraddha Bhakke Kohilo Prabhur Nimantrana. In one village there was a Vedic Brahmana called Kurma. He invited Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home with great respect and devotion. Goriyani Prabhu Koilo Pado Prakalan Sei Jala Bangsa Sahit Korilo Bakan. This Brahmana brought Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home washed his lotus feet and with his family members drank that water. Anek prokara snehe bikha korailo gosaiya steshano sabangse kailo. That Kurma Brahmana with great affection and respect made Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eat all kinds of food. After that, the remnants were shared by all the members of the family. Jai Pada Padma Tuma Brahma Dhyana Kore Sri Pada Padma Sakha Dailo Mora Gauri. The Brahmana then began to pray, O my Lord, your lotus feet are meditated upon by Lord Brahma, and these very lotus feet have come into my home. This is the fact that remember how Lord Brahma, becoming a little bit proud, had stolen the calves and cow herders, cowherd boys, from Krishna, and put them in a cave and went away. Of course, when he returned, then Krishna showed his transcendental power, because he had already re-manifested all those stolen calves and cowherder boys. And Brahma seeing that, and Krishna, is there a thing? Krishna, out of each of those cowherd boys and calves, manifested unlimited Narayana. Each Narayana more brilliant than millions of suns. And out of those cowherd boys and Narayanas are coming out with their four hands, Shankha, Padma, Gadha, Godha, and Chakra. And they're coming out, going in, all the material elements, they're going on all sides, offering their respects to the forms of Narayana. Seeing these millions of Narayanas coming out from the hundreds of cowherd boys he had thought that he had stolen, Brahma became so bewildered he fell down and begged Krishna, please forgive me. Please forgive me for my offense. Do not forget that I am your eternal devotee. And of course Krishna forgave him. Brahma returned the stolen cowherd boys and calves. And Brahma was thinking, how fortunate are these cowherd calves, these cowherd boys. These cowherd boys are playing with Krishna just like as his friend. How fortunate, if only I could be so fortunate. Instead, as a Brahma, I become so puffed up with my false position that I commit offense to the lotus feet of my master, Sri Krishna. Thinking this way, he left. And he decided to perform tapasya for purification and meditate on the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip Dham at the Joga Peak, the very place where Lord Chaitanya comes, Antar Dvipa. There Lord Brahma, he meditated on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, knowing that he was the ocean of mercy. Meditating on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the all-merciful golden avatar appeared to him. Lord Brahma bowed down with his forehead to the Lord. Seeing his beautiful form with his lotus eyes going back to his ears, his hair tied up in a kaccha in the Brahminic style, with his flowing robes and flower garland with bumblebees flying all around the garland trying to get the nectar from his lotus feet, and accompanied by his associates. Lord Brahma said, my dear Lord Gauranga, you are the most merciful avatar. I am so fallen. Kindly have your mercy upon me. He said, Because I am a Brahma, therefore, I always forget my position as your eternal servant and I offend Krishna. Since you are the ocean of mercy, please have your mercy upon me that I may take birth in your upcoming incarnation as your assistant and associate, and that I may be purified from my false ego as a Brahma and learn humility so that I may never forget for the rest of my life the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he accepted with the words, tatastaha, so be it. Lord Brahma, whatever you have wanted, you shall have. You will appear as my associate, and when you leave your body, I will be personally present at that time. So your soul will be purified. But to purify you from the false ego of being a Brahma, you have to take birth in a Mahavadin family. But you will be my dear devotee and your name will be Haridas. And you will chant every day 300,000 names of Krishna. And by chanting these 300,000 names your whole life, that will give you enough sukriti to last you the rest of your life of Brahma. That you will never forget. Saying that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared. Lord Brahma again fell down, jumped up in joy. Chatmukhe Brahma bole Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Panchamukhe Mahadeva Rama Rama Hare Hare. So, Lord Brahma went back to Brahmalok to tidy up all the pending business and prepare for coming down in a few minutes of his time, 5,000 moments, to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So actually, Lord Brahma did worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and everything that he desired was given to him by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To be born in a Muslim family meant that he had to be humble, because he wouldn't be accepted by the strict Hindus. But Lord Chaitanya, he accepted him as his associate and devotee. So everything that he wanted was given. Actually, we can see from this that Lord Brahma's desire to be an associate of Krishna, friend of Krishna, that was being fulfilled by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, see, what else did the Brahmana say here? Text 125. Mor bhagya sima na jaya kohana aji mora slagho hailo janma kulo dhano. My dear Lord, there is no limit to my great fortune. It cannot be described. Today my family, birth and riches have all been glorified. Kripa koro prabhu more jawa toma sange sohite na pari dukho Vishoyatarangi. Translation. The Brahmana begged Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, my dear Lord, kindly show me favor. and let me go with you. I can no longer tolerate the waves of misery caused by materialistic life. Purport. This statement by Srila Prabhupada. This statement is applicable for everyone, regardless of how rich or prosperous one may be. Narottam Das Thakur has confirmed this statement. Sangsara bisha nole divanesi hiya jwale. He states that the materialistic way of life causes a burning in the heart. One cannot make any provisions for the troublesome life of the material world. It is a fact that one may be very happy as far as riches are concerned, and one may be very opulent in every respect, yet one has to manage the vishoyas to meet the demands of the body and of so many family members and subordinates. One has to take so much trouble to minister to others. Narottama Das Thakur therefore prays, Vishoya chariya kobe suddho habe mon. Thus one must become freed from the materialistic way of life. One has to merge himself in the ocean of transcendental bliss. In other words, one cannot relish transcendental bliss without being freed from the materialistic way of life. It appears that the Brahmana named Kurma was materially very happy, for he expressed his family tradition as Janma Kula Dhana. Janma means aristocratic birth. Kula, Janma Kula means birth, aristocratic heritage, and Dhana means Lakshmi, money. Now being glorified, he wanted to leave all these material opulences. He wanted to travel with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. According to the Vedic way of civilization, one should leave his family after attaining 50 years of age and go into the forest of Vrindavana to devote the rest of his life to the service of the Lord. In other words, whether one is very rich or whether one is very poor, this material world is designed just to create a burning in the heart. To create troublesome situations. Therefore, one should always be eager to take shelter of the Lord. Bishoya chariya kobe suddho habe mon. When will we stop to see this material world as an object of sense enjoyment? When will our mind become pure? What is that pure mind? That pure mind is the pure mind of Krishna consciousness, of wanting to see everything engaged in Krishna service. Whatever we see, we want to engage that in Krishna service. This is the pure mind. But let us see how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied. Prabhu kohe oiche bat kabuna kohiba grihe rohi Krishna nama niranta lohiba. Translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, don't speak like that again. Better to remain at home and chant the holy name of Krishna always. Purport. It is not advisable in this age of Kali to leave one's family suddenly, for people are not trained as proper brahmacharis and grihastas. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised the Brahmana not to be too eager to give up family life. It would be better to remain with his family and try to become purified by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra regularly under the direction of a spiritual master. This is the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If this principle is followed by everyone, there is no need to accept sannyas. In the next verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised everyone to become an ideal householder by offensively chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra and teaching the same principle to everyone he meets. Jare deko tare ko Krishna upodesh amar agya guru haya tharo e desh. instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. This is the sublime mission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Many people come and inquire whether they have to give up family life to join the society. But that is not our mission. One can remain comfortably in his residence. We simply request everyone to chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. If one is a little literate and can read Bhagavad Gita as it is and Srimad Bhagavatam, that is so much the better. These works are now available in an English translation and are done very authoritatively to appeal to all classes of men. Instead of living engrossed in material activities, people throughout the world should take advantage of this movement and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra at home with their families. One should also refrain from sinful activities, illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. Out of these four items, illicit sex is very sinful. Every person must get married. Every woman especially must get married. If the women outnumber the men, some men can accept more than one wife. In that way, there will be no prostitution in society. If men can marry more than one wife, illicit sex will be stopped. One can also produce many nice preparations to offer Krishna grain, fruit, flowers, and milk. Why should one indulge in unnecessary meat eating and maintain horrible slaughterhouses? What is the use of smoking and drinking tea and coffee? People are already intoxicated by material enjoyment. And if they indulge in further intoxication, what chance is there for self-realization? Similarly, one should not partake in gambling and unnecessarily agitate the mind. The real purpose of human life is to attain the spiritual platform and return to Godhead. That is a summum bonum of spiritual realization.